Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Desafira Pharmaceuticals, we had the pleasure of speaking with Gina Z. D'Amato, MD, to discuss research in sarcoma and gastrointestinal stromal tumor that was presented at the 2022 ASCO Annual Meeting, 2023 Gastrointestinal Cancer Symposium, and 2023 January ASCO Plenary Series. Dr. D'Amato is an Associate Professor of Medicine in Sarcoma Medical Oncology and the Assistant Director of Clinical Research at Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center, part of the University of Miami Health System in Florida. In our exclusive interview, Dr. D'Amato discussed the significance of incorporating circulating tumor DNA analysis into routine reevaluation of patients with progressive disease, emphasized the importance of establishing a drug's clinical profile in non-trial target ethnic populations, and highlighted a first-in-human trial evaluating IDRX42, a novel TKI that could overcome acquired resistance to standard therapy. Thank you so much, Dr. D'Amato, for taking the time to speak with us today on an episode of Enclave On Air to discuss research from this year's ASCO GI Symposium. How are you doing?
Good.
Before we get to some of the data that was presented at the symposium, I did want to ask you about an announcement that was made earlier this year. We saw exploratory results looking at ctDNA analysis in patients with certain KIT mutations enrolled in INTRIGUE. What is the significance of these findings?
This is very significant in that, we've been treating just tumors based on the line of therapy, and we've discovered that different GIST tumors have different mutations, either in the KIT gene, the PDGF-alpha gene, or other genes, and their primary mutation, and if they've accumulated secondary mutations, will determine their response to treatment. This was further validated in the INTRIGUE trial. So we have known that exon 13 KIT mutation, that those tumors are sensitive to Sutent, but if they harbor an exon 17 mutation, they tend to be resistant to Sutent. So we've known that, and then this INTRIGUE trial further validated what we have known from prior studies, that those patients that received Sutent that had an exon 13 mutation did better with Sutent than if they had ripretinib. However, if they harbored an exon 17 mutation, then they did better with the ripretinib. And we should really be using mutation status to really guide our treatment decisions instead of just going by what the guidelines say, first line, second line, third line, because those guidelines were not based on mutation status. They were based on FDA registration trials.
Now, sticking with GIST, two posters were presented on the activity of ripretinib in Chinese patients with advanced GIST. What is the important takeaways from these analyses?
I think it is important to test treatments on different patient populations because, as we know, sarcomas and GIST can affect all patients, all ages, male to female ratio, and all ethnic groups and socioeconomic status. However, we don't have all the data on how these patients respond to treatment and the pharmacokinetics and dynamics of how they metabolize treatment. So it is important to have studies in the Asian population to make sure that they're being represented and to show that it can be effective in their patient population. So, the fact that this trial did show superiority over sunitinib based on the mutation type is similar to what we found in the INTRIGUE trial.
And then we also saw the design of a phase 1/1b trial of a novel TKI IDRX42 in patients with metastatic GIST. What are your thoughts on this trial?
Yes, we did see the trial in progress poster, and it is very promising that they are looking at a drug that can overcome the resistant mutations. The trial design is such that it is a typical phase one dose finding as well as expansion. And with the different cohorts looking at patients who have just progressed on imatinib only, I think that's important data because as patients progress on and on with treatment, we may lose out on drugs that can be used earlier. The second cohort, third and fourth line, which was standard, and then even allowing fifth line and greater, which these patients can have good performance status. They're young, they don't have multiple comorbidities, and beyond ripretinib, they have limited treatment options. We have a phase one trial at Sylvester with THE-630, which also is aimed to target this heavily pretreated population. And those patients are excluded from this trial, presumably because they are both KIT inhibitors.
And then were there any other presentations that stood out to you from this year's symposium in sarcomas or GIST?
The ctDNA data from INTRIGUE was presented at ASCO in a special session, ctDNA session. And I think that this is important that we treat GIST like other molecularly targeted cancers. Other cancers, we've had a lot of progress in really understanding the molecular basis of it and having treatments available based on their mutation status. Lung cancer, we do this. Breast cancer, we do this. And we really want to be moving forward in the field with GIST. So it was very promising to see that the data was presented in this large forum along with other cancers. With sarcoma, looking really at better understanding the immunotherapy, the checkpoint inhibitors. We had some molecular data showing which patients may respond to treatment, what the tumor specimens look like with the T-cell infiltrates, and really better understanding who the patients are that can benefit from immunotherapy. So that was very promising. Some combination treatments. There was a study, the LEADER study with eribulin in combination with lenvatinib that seemed promising. And we did have a plenary session for Ewing sarcoma, second line, high dose ifosfamide did have a survival benefit over other second line treatments in Ewing's. And this was something that we've known for a while, but we didn't have a validated trial to reflect the data. And clearly, it is superior second line therapy. High dose ifosfamide is for Ewing sarcoma.
Is there any other ongoing or planned research that you'd like to highlight before we close?
So we also have a clinical trial that's looking at ctDNA. Patients that have progressed on imatinib will be receiving either sunitinib if they have an exon 13 mutation or regorafenib if they have an exon 17 mutation. We did present retrospective data at ASCO this past year and at CTOS showing that we've been doing this in the clinic and have improved survival. However, it will be nice to study this prospectively.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Deciphera Pharmaceuticals. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.